Pastor, how many have heard Paul Colleen? I just called you Paul Colleen, whatever that is. So most of us, yeah, okay, well, you know, there you go. So that's why I'm letting you preach today. I'm done talking. But just been great friends in our lives, pastor for us, and really we were on staff with them and just had a great time, helped us plant this church. Many of you know who know him. And so he's going to come up and share the word this morning. Tremendous anointing on his life. And Colleen Bolt, we love him so much. Great church down there in Owego, Resonate Church. And we're so thankful to have him here today. So, Paul, come on up and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one, the earpiece kept. My ear doesn't hold those little microphones. I don't either. So I cast it out. It's no longer ever going to work for anybody else either. All right. Stinking thing. All right. Okay. No. All right. Awesome. Well, how's everybody doing? Okay. Father, we came into church today to hear from you. And so that's it. We came to worship you, hear from you, love on you, receive from you, and we thank you for this. We ask that by your utterance that our lives can be changed. You said to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. It's so much more needed today than just any words that I could speak. It's the revelation that will be brought by your spirit that we covet, that we need, because that's what changes us. We receive that now. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Well, we're going to start with, there's a couple things, and this is something that the Lord told me to teach the body of Christ, and he gave me a mandate on a couple different things. This is one of them. One of the things that happens so many times is we're working so hard to try to get the kingdom into our lives. We see things, we hear about miracles, we hear about God providing for people, we hear about the promises of God. Sometimes we wonder, why doesn't it work for us? And that's not the way God intended things to be. He didn't want you to have a Christianity where you looked at others and said, how come it works for them? He wants you to be the ones that people look at, and then you can freely give it to them also. Amen. And there's a few key things. You know, this thing being a human being and then all of a sudden becoming divine through the new birth and being hooked up with heaven. I mean, this is a process. I mean, you know, we're learning some things in a different way. You grew up living in your own limitations, many of us. You know what I mean? We didn't get born again until we were older. Or even if we got born again when we were young, sometimes we were raised in a thing called religion. And religion taught you how that you were not any good and that you had to do all these works to try to get to God, right? Well, the beautiful thing about the message of God is he says, you were no good. And I got to help you. Amen. You know what I mean? And so you need to be rescued. And he comes and he grabs us and he brings us into this family. And it's just an awesome thing. You know what I mean? And it's like, wow. You know what I mean? I get to come into the family of God. And we're going to talk about really just a very simple message and how to receive from the kingdom of God. And we're going to start out by looking at the way worship used to be. God always wanted to connect with man, but man separated himself from God, right? And so then there was this hard and arduous process of getting to God. This first slide I'm going to show you is just an example of the tabernacle, and we can't see the whole thing. Okay, wonderful. At the bottom of that thing is a gate. And this is the tabernacle that that God gave to Moses, and he said, build it just like this, for it's the pattern of that which is in heaven. And I like that because God is giving us something from heaven, and this shows me, as we look at this, that God always intended for man and God to be in unity with one another and for heaven and earth to always be connected. And we see that before Jesus Christ came, he said, now this is how you're going to worship me. And the temple was built after the same design. And there was one gate into this thing. Why? Because there's only one way to God. And then you came into the outer court. And the first part of the tabernacle in there you saw was the altar of sacrifice. I mean, you come into the presence and right there is an altar to always remind you that you're not going to go any further in this relationship. You're not going to go any further without a sacrifice. Amen. And so they, you know, for the Passover, there's many sacrifices that were made and could be made, but we're going to use the Passover because it represents Jesus Christ being the Passover lamb. And they would have to, you know, as a family, they would have to raise this lamb, you know what I mean? And they would have to look at this thing. It had to be a lamb without blemish. And you got to understand, can you imagine raising this thing and your kids are looking at it, you know what I mean? And you got to examine it, you know, and they're feeding it. And here's Fluffy, you know what I mean? Hey, you know what I mean? Ma, you know what I mean? And they're taking Fluffy, you know, come on, we're going to go worship God. And the whole family's taking Fluffy, ma, you know, and here they come. And then they bring him to this priest so we can worship God. And the priest examines Fluffy. Fluffy's perfect. And then he grabs Fluffy's head and he pulls his neck back and slices his throat. Woo, how'd you like to go to church? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I mean? And this had to happen once a year, and it was a family thing, and it was gruesome, and it was ugly, and they had to explain it to their children that this is it. We did bad as human beings, and we separated ourselves from God, and now the innocent have to die for us who are guilty. And you know that Fluffy didn't do anything. Fluffy was perfect, but Fluffy had to die because of our sin. It's a great picture, really. Because what it did was training them, I cannot save myself. Innocence has to take my place. And then they would skin Fluffy and put him on the altar. And then the priest and the family would take a part of Fluffy and eat him. Because Fluffy had to become a part of who they were. Very part of their DNA. When they ate of that lamb, it broke down and became a very part of their cells, very part of their being. Very important when we see this being Jesus. And when we partake of communion, we're taking Christ into ourselves, recognizing I need him to be a part of every part of my being. Then you go and once that sacrifice is made, then the priest would be able to go to this place called the laver, and they would wash in that laver. And they would wash their hands and wash their feet. And they had to be clean to go into the next part. That next little box in there is called the holy place. And they would walk in, and right to their right was a table of showbread, and to the left was the lampstand. And these represent different things, and I'll show you in just a second. And then there was an altar of incense. In Revelation, it says that the incense are the prayers of the saints going up into heaven. I'm not totally convinced that this is what this represents, but for our thing, we're going to look at it as this. And then once a year, the priest, after they did this Passover lamb thing, after all this, you know, the priest would take incense from that altar. And they would fill that inner place, that Holy of Holies, once a year with the smoke from the incense. And they would go in there and they'd sprinkle the blood 7 times on the altar. The number of perfection. 7 times. And then he would walk out, and for 1 year, sins were covered. Not forgiven, not gone, just covered, because the animal wasn't a good enough sacrifice to change what man did. Now we see that Jesus is all through this, and let's look at the next slide, and we'll see that Jesus is the gate. You can't see it on there, but Jesus is the gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through whom? Jesus. You're not going to get there. There are not many ways to heaven. Not all religions lead to life. Don't you be fooled. Now, there's good things in many of these religions. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying why. Because nobody would follow them if there wasn't some good things in them, right? But when we live this thing, this life that God has given to us, it should be so different from any other religion that people look at us and go, what happened to you? What's in you? I used to know you. What in the heck happened to you? There's life in you. It's interesting. You go to a country. We used to live in the former Soviet Union. You could pick out a believer just like that. You'd be walking down the road, you'd just look at somebody and go, you're a believer, aren't you? You're a believer. You're a believer. Why? Because there was such a drastic difference just on their face. It was amazing how you could just pick them out. If you get sensitive, you can still do that in America. It's just a little bit harder because we have this clown face on called religion. You see, Jesus, you know, was the Jesus was the sacrifice, the Passover lamb. The laver, I would think, represents the washing of the water of the word, which cleanses us. Then we go into the holy place, and we see Jesus is the bread of life, the Bible says, right? We see the Holy Spirit is the illuminator, the one who brings revelation and truth to us. The oil and the lampstand represent the Holy Spirit. And when you combine the Holy Spirit and the word together, you get something called revelation. See, never read your Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit, because if you do, you're not going to get revelation. You're going to get knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge makes you a Pharisee. And then you start using the Word of God to compare yourself amongst others, and you start using the Word of God to tear somebody else down. You use the Word of God to hurt people rather than to build people up, right? But when you get revelation, revelation says, I needed this salvation, and so do you. I needed it so much, and now I can share life with you. I don't have to criticize you, but I can share with you that we can get out of this lifestyle that's hurting you, because I know where the power lies. I don't have to condemn you. I get to help you. Amen? And so revelation comes, and then the prayers of the saints. 1 John 5:14-15 says this: if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. And you see, only by the Holy Spirit and by the word can you get revelation to understand and know what to pray for. That's right. Then your prayers can go into the place of the holy place and get up to heaven. How many times do we pray without the revelation? We might even pray the word, but the word without revelation is a pharisaical exercise in religion. They prayed the scriptures. They prayed them fervently every day. They had them written on their head and on their hands, you know what I mean? So that they would never forget the word of God, and yet they were so far from Jesus when he came, they couldn't even recognize him. You see, without the Spirit, we won't have life. And so when we pray, you know, I could pray for my friend Brandon. I could just pray, you know, certain things for him. And I could pray, you know, certain scriptures over him. But if I want effective prayer, I got to go, Lord, what does he need? And I'll start praying and I'll start reading my Bible, and certain scriptures will come up to me, right? And if I have a scripture as I'm praying for him and God gives me a scripture, that is revelation. And I can start to pray that over him. And guess what? That's what's going to bring the amen from heaven into his life. Or I can be praying for him and the Lord will just say, call him. Revelation from heaven. He needs a call today. Yes. Amen? Right. Or whatever it may be, then you'll start to live a dynamic, awesome prayer life with God. And you'll be praying and you'll be reading your Bible, and the scripture will jump out, and God will start ministering to you, and he'll start sharing some things with you, and then he's going to bring possibly somebody into your remembrance, and he's going to say, now I want you to share that revelation with them because they've been asking me some questions. And you're going to call that person and say, man, I was reading my Bible today, and I asked the Holy Spirit to talk to me as I was reading. And as I was reading and I learned this, the Lord just brought your name up to my remembrance. And so I thought I would call you today, and I want to share this scripture with you. And if this bears witness with you, just know that God was moving heaven and earth because he was thinking about you. You'll be amazed in how many times it brings life to that person. It brings life. You see, too many times we live religion rather than relationship. And there's many reasons why. And we'll see if we get into them. We'll just see what God wants to do today. See, God intends for us to live from the perspective of heaven on this earth. We live here from the perspective of there. So Jesus came so that we would have access into heaven. Now look at this. Religion and relationship with God was hard. It was a lot of work. It cost my animals' lives. It cost all kinds of things. And it was hard and it was work, and it never brought the life that God intended, ever. It never brought the life that God intended. In fact, the Bible says the law was a schoolmaster or a teacher to bring us to Christ. It was never meant to be the thing that was the end and all. It was to bring us to Jesus Christ. And so once it did its job, I'm no longer under a tutor. See, if I try to relate to God according to law now, what I'm saying is Jesus wasn't enough. And so now the hard part comes, because now I have to relate to him according to relationship. How many know relationship is harder than law? Because relationship now cost me my heart. It might cost me my desires, because I have to think of the other person before I think of myself. Ask any married person that has a good marriage. There's times where it's all about them, because it just has to be. They might need everything that you have at that point. And then the roles reverse at other times. See, Kylie and I learned, if we can try to just keep outdoing each other, it works. Because I'm just constantly trying to think of her and what she needs, what she would like, what she would, and she's doing the same for me. Well, now I have a relationship, because this relationship is designed to teach my children how their relationship with God works. And how does it work? I'm always trying to think what pleases him. And guess what he's doing? The same thing. Selah, we can go home. Okay, so we've got that. The last slide, Aaron, where it goes heaven to earth. Just do the heaven to earth one. This is the way God intended. The bottom is earth. God always intended that heaven and earth. It's okay, brother. He always intended that heaven and earth would be connected, and that we never lived separated from heaven. You see, some people think, let's bring heaven to earth. No. When Jesus came, heaven poured out on earth. I don't have to bring it down. He connected heaven and earth when he came. Where did Jesus say the kingdom of God was? Anybody read your Bibles in this room? Anybody got an answer for me? Where's the kingdom of God? Did he say, hey, look over here for it? Did he say, look over there for it? Where's the kingdom of God? It's in me. Right here is the kingdom of God. He connected heaven and earth. But if I don't understand that, I will live like I am not connected. And it's just as if I wasn't at that point. You see, what you don't believe, as if it's just as if it is not real. Right? If I pulled out the keys to my car and I said, Brandon, you can have my car. Boom. Keys are in the office. Well, if he didn't believe me, he'd go for weeks, and the keys would be sitting in my office, or Tony's office. They'd be sitting in there. No, he'd take it. You know what I mean? And if he didn't believe I really meant it, what would happen? He would go home without the car, because he just didn't believe that I gave it to him. He's just joking. Would it still be his?
Yeah.
But if he didn't believe it, he would be living life with one less car than God intended for him to have. Because I wouldn't give it to him if otherwise. See? And God poured out the kingdom. What did God say? All the promises in him are yes, and in him, amen. Everything. He says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hokey smokes, man. It's like, you gave me the whole kingdom? I am so lacking in believing that. Let's look at a couple scriptures. You ready? How do I receive the kingdom of God? Mark 10:13. Mark 10:13. It says this, and this is the New King James. It says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but his disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them. Can you imagine seeing Jesus greatly displeased? I like how nice they put that. He was greatly displeased. Yeah, the modern translation, he was ticked off. Amen. I'll just say it that way. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. And so Jesus was ticked off at them, and he said, "Let the children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in it." And he took them up in his arms and laid hands on them and blessed them. Isn't that cool? Listen to this in the Message Bible. This is just fun. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and let them know it. Woo! Can you imagine that? He just told us off, man. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, and if Jesus did, oh, man. "Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between me and them." Oh, my gosh. "These children are the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you will never get in." Oh, my, my, my. You won't even get in. You won't even get in. You see, if you don't accept your salvation by no works of yourself, don't even think you're saved. Don't even think you're saved. "Well, I go to church." Big deal. "I read my Bible every day, and I pray, and I tithe." Good things. Should do them. But if you think that's what's getting you into heaven, you're going to have a big surprise when you die. Because it's only by Fluffy that you get in. And Fluffy is now Jesus. It is only by his sacrifice. And the Bible says that he had to go sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat up in heaven 7 times for you to be clean. That's it. So why do you think you're going to heaven? Because I have a good sacrifice. "Well, I know you, you know, and we could pick on each one of you and find something, right? Right? I remember religious people telling me, "You can't go to heaven, you got long hair," when I had hair. I was like, I don't know, but a few months ago, I would have punched you for even talking to me like that. And today, I'm not going to because I know Jesus. Yeah. So I think I got saved. I think I might be on my way. And then I go, "So how did you get saved?" That didn't go over with religious people very well. Law, 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 law. No, it was only by Jesus, because I couldn't have done it any other way. You kidding me? "Little children were brought to be blessed by him." Little children, and this is talking about children at the age, if in the Greek, the meaning of this word child is before the age of training. Before they went to school. How much does a little child do to earn a blessing at that age? Nothing. What you hand them, they think is theirs. Right? You put it in their hands, where's it going to go? Their mouth. "Ah, it's mine. I'm going to suck on it." You know what I mean? I'm going to defile whatever you put in my hands. You know what I mean? It's like, "Please go wash my keys." You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? Slobber, whatever, right? Then try to take it away from them. Yeah, it's worse. You know what I'm saying? Mine. 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 You give a little child something, they'll hold on to it, and they don't get the concept that it is not there. You ever try to teach a child to share? Come on. I got a whole story. We don't have time for it, but I got stories. What time are we done? Because we got a service at 11. We got to get you guys out of here and get new people in. We'll figure it out. It'll all work. Yeah, we got a whole lot more. Just understand that a little child, when they grab onto something, what happens? It's theirs. And you know what you need to do with all the promises of God? Mine. Come on. Mine. 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 How simple do you need to be about that? "Well, I don't know if I deserve it. I don't know if God heard my prayer." Shut up. Quit being a grown-up, would you? Now, God doesn't want you to be immature, and there's a whole other portion of this teaching where we have to steward the kingdom of God as an adult with the gifts that God's given to us. But when it comes to receiving, quit being a grown-up and trying to figure this thing out. Well, I don't know if I deserve it. I can tell you, you don't. You got it because your sacrifice was good, and his name was Jesus. And so when Jesus did that, you now have to become as a child and say, mine. Why are you born again? Because Jesus was good, and I accept. I just receive the sacrifice that Jesus did for my sin because there's no way I'm going to be able to undo what I did. There's no way I'm going to be able to pay for what I did. You know, the Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived, was consenting to the death of Stephen, the first martyr. How do you undo that? What works are you going to do to undo that? Even if you gave your own life, it wouldn't undo that. Only Jesus, who lives in eternity, knows the end from the beginning, can go back into your past and say, my blood is going to erase that.
Thank you,
only Jesus. And he wants us to live from that same perspective and go, his blood washed me, so I'll never think of that ever again. It's gone. I accept the kingdom. It is mine. Adults try very hard to obtain. Children at this stage just receive. My grandkids came over, how old are they? 6, 5, and 2. They walk through the threshold of the door, didn't even say hello, and go, I'm hungry. That was it. Saw grandma. Grandma represents food. Amen. And you know what I mean? And it's just like, you know, walked in, didn't even say hi to grandpa. Come on. You know what I mean? I'm holding the doors. They're walking in. Come in. They go, we're hungry. Didn't have any consideration how much it cost. Whether we even had anything in the house. How rude it was that they didn't say hi to grandpa who's holding the door for them. Come on, I wrestled them to the ground. I made sure that they got that message. You know what I'm saying? You know, whatever. You know, we played. Actually, I cooked and grandma played. But anyway, so we made them some food, and they chowed like crazy, and they never even thought. In fact, we had to say, you know what? Why don't you say thank you? You know what I mean? Whatever. They don't even get that. Why? All they know is, if I'm hungry, grandma's got food. What are you trying to do with the kingdom? Well, if I repent enough, if I try to be good enough, if I'm really sincerely sorry, then maybe God will answer my prayer. You are never going to get the kingdom of God. Ever, 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 ever. I'll prove it to you. You ready? Matthew 18, verse 1. I love this stuff. Don't you love the Bible? Don't you love this? It's like so awesome. Okay, ready? Matthew 18:1. It says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, again, a little child, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted, unless you change the way you think, because he's talking to all these adults that have learned that they have to earn a living, that they have to do all these things, which I said, the second half of this is, as a steward, I steward well. I steward with the gifts God gave me. I am responsible. But when it comes to receiving and being the greatest in the kingdom, I have to be converted and become as a little child. You will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself, not being humbled, but humbles himself as a little child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to humble myself? It means this: depress the pride. I did this. I earned this. I deserve this. No, you know what? If you deserve hell. That's it. And if you think you deserve anything other than that, well, I'm a good person and I think of people. Yeah, but there's been times where you haven't. The very fact that you have to build yourself in pride says that you don't think very much of yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't be bragging about yourself. So there's already a deficit and something wrong with you because you have to tell others how good you really are. Well, judge me according to my heart. Really?
Oh, come on.
Really?
Oh,
You know, the people came to Jesus and said that, right? And he says, oh, yeah, you want me to do that? Let me share this with you. It was said in the law that you shall not murder. But I tell you, if you're angry with somebody, you've already committed murder. You said it said do not commit adultery, but let me just judge your heart. If you've even lusted after somebody in your heart, you've already committed adultery already. You want me to judge your heart? Okay, we'll go there. You don't want that. You want to be washed in the blood and go, let's just get the judgment thing right out of the way. I think I'll just accept the blood. Okay? Don't you love that when people say, well, you judge my heart. You just got, he's a good person. No, he's a lion stealing thief. Oh, but he's got a good heart. No, he might be nice in some areas, but he needs a savior because he's rotten, wretched, and deserves hell. How many times have I heard that? Well, he's a good boy. He just robbed a liquor store with a gun. Don't tell me he's a good boy. He's got problems. It's because you keep telling me he's a good boy. He keeps doing this stupid stuff. He needs a good savior so he can become a good boy and grow up and be a man. What is humble about a child? Everything. They're dependent on others for everything. My little granddaughter was over the other day. She messed her diaper up so bad, it was gross. And she couldn't change it herself. Grandma, absolutely. Grandpa all of a sudden had an emergency somewhere other than where that baby was. I'll tell you that right now. Another thing about a child is this. Are you ready? They can't overcomplicate anything. They can't. They can't overcomplicate it. Why? Because they don't know enough to complicate it. Do we ever try to overcomplicate it? Yes. Another thing about a child is they can't take credit for anything. Hey, baby girl, nice dress. She came into my office the other day. She looked so pretty. I go, oh, what a pretty dress. Mommy bought it for me. Can't take credit for it. Why? Because she doesn't even have a job. Right. Little sucker's a mooch. You know what I mean? She comes up to me. I love it. She comes up to me. Grandpa, can we go to the bookstore? Why? You can't read. Candy. There you go. Or she'll come up and go, can I have a dollar? I go, let's go ask mommy or daddy. Why? Because I ain't going to give them stuff that their mommy and daddy don't want them to have. Another thing about it is this: innocent. The innocence of a child at that age, they haven't learned the difference between right and wrong. Come on. And they're just innocent. Can you just be innocent before God? Just pure, just like a child. If you can't, you're never going to receive the kingdom. Good example of this, and I'll just tell you this story really quick, and then we just need to end. But Naaman was a guy who was a mighty warrior in the Syrian army, and he had leprosy. Well, in one of his conquests, he ended up raiding a village, and there was a Jewish girl there, and she became Naaman's wife's servant. And so, obviously, he was a great guy because she was talking to his wife and said, listen, if my master Naaman would go to Israel, there's a prophet there and he'd heal him. You don't do that to people you don't like. So he must have been a good guy. And so he goes and the king of Syria writes a letter to the king of Israel and says, hey, I've sent Naaman to you for you to heal him. And the king's like, rips his clothes and goes, who am I, God, that I could heal? See, he forgot there was a prophet in Israel. The prophet heard about this, and he sent to him, he says, send Naaman to me, and now he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. And so Naaman goes to the prophet's house, and the prophet heard from God. He was connected with heaven. Come on, somebody. He knew the process. He heard from heaven, and heaven says, dip in the river Jordan 7 times and be made clean. And so that's all the prophet had to know. It's not about the prophet, right? It's not about anybody. It's just about the message. And so he sent his servant out to Naaman and says, go dip in the river Jordan 7 times. You'll be made clean. Naaman didn't like that. He was prideful. He was a man of valor. He was a man of doing exploits. And he turned away and he says, I thought for sure the man of God would come out and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. In other words, he was hoping, hocus pocus, be clean, poof, you know. I mean, he had it planned out how God should answer his prayer. Why? Because he's used to being God. He's used to telling people what to do. You don't do what he says, he kills you. He's a man of valor. He's not a man to mess with. He turns around mad, and his servant, you know, goes, Master, Master, if he asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? Of course he would have, because then he could have took pride in his healing. And he says, how much more should you do this simple thing and be made clean? And he says, all right. And he goes to the Jordan, and he dips 7 times, come out clean. See, he had to have somebody in his life to talk him out of his pride so that he could humble himself just to obey the word of the prophet. So the question is today, how much pride do you have? And if you think you're earning anything from the kingdom, you're walking away without the blessing and without the provision. We're going to bow our heads right now. And I want you to just ask the Lord. I'm going to ask a question. I'll ask a general question. You hear from God and let him speak to you, because he will speak. Just keep that really, really, really low, please. Father, I ask that you speak to us and show us any areas in our life where we're trying to earn the kingdom rather than just receive it as a child. I ask that you show us those places where we think we're not worthy. That means we're trying to earn it. Those areas where we think God won't do this for me. Why? Because we don't feel worthy. We're trying to earn it. Now, as the Lord just speaks to you in an area, just raise your hand up, put it back down just so I can see that God's speaking to you. Okay? All over this room. Yeah. Yeah. This radically changed my life when I studied this out, because I was doing all kinds of things to try to earn God's blessings and favor. Now take those areas and just go, Lord, forgive me. I repent. I've tried to do all kinds of things to make you manifest. I've tried to do all kinds of things to get my answered prayer. I've tried to earn and to do these things, and just ask the Lord to forgive you. And now just say, I receive. That's it. Just receive. Now, then when my baby girl gets her candy or gets whatever, she's just so happy, and she's just acting like a little kid, because she is. And now you just need to be happy and rejoicing, going, my Father heard my prayer, and it's mine. Maybe you're here and you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Maybe you never really understood what that meant. But you see, he was the sacrifice, and he's the only one that can forgive you of your sin. And so if you're here and you'd say, I need that, and I'm ready to receive as a child, I'll just accept him as my sacrifice. I'll accept him as my Lord. What do I need to do? The Bible says, if you'll call on him as Lord, which means you're going to give your life to him, he's going to buy you with his blood, basically, and you're going to be his. So it's not a small thing. It's a big thing. You're giving your life over to him. If you're here and you've never done that and you're ready to do that and you want to do that right now, you're going to have a miracle take place on the inside of you. If that's you, raise your hand up real high and we'll pray together. Just raise your hand up so I can see it. Okay, we're all saved and on our way to heaven. All right. Lord, you're good. We love you and we thank you for everything you've done, everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, that was awesome. Woo! Boy, even if you don't normally get the CDs or get online and listen, that teaching you need to get or listen to it again online. So many things in that. That was just powerful, powerful, powerful. So love that gift. You know, Jesus said the way that you receive a person, a prophet, a good man, he tells a story, he says, the way you receive them, there's a blessing that's transferred to us. The Bible says that those who receive the word should share in all good things with him who teaches.